Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Psalm 14 will begin there at the beginning. That'd make sense, wouldn't it? To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Let me begin by saying, in almost every situation when the Bible speaks of a fool, in its King James English, it's not speaking of someone who has some kind of mental or emotional deficiency. It's speaking of someone who has willfully chosen a foolish way of thinking and living. It has nothing to do with somebody's intellectual capability. It has everything to do with choices and decisions. There are people that are Mensa-level intelligent that are fools. And there are people that are very simple-minded, and yet they're wise. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. By the way, Paul references that in Romans chapter 3. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. This psalm is a companion psalm to Psalms 12, 53, and even a companion to Romans 3. There's some interesting parallels there. The theme of the psalm, I guess, could best be said to be the depravity of man. Now, depravity does not mean that man is incapable of doing that which is good. It just means it's not in his nature. That left to himself, he'll ultimately continue to do wrong. And that man is incapable of improving himself spiritually, even though outwardly he may appear to be a moral and decent person. I kicked around the idea of just working through this psalm and preaching the whole thing. If you know me at all, you know that my problem is not finding enough content to fill the morning service. It's knowing what to leave out. And so after prayer and asking the Lord for guidance, I think we're just going to stick with one phrase. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. In 1754, Benjamin Franklin wrote a pamphlet that was meant for Europeans who were considering moving to the colonies. It was almost like a travel brochure. And so he was trying to get them to see all the benefits of living in the colonies. And in there is a statement that's very interesting to me. Speaking of the colonies, Benjamin Franklin, 1754, says, atheism is unknown there. Infidelity, and he means religious infidelity, not marital. Infidelity, rare and secret. So that persons may live to a great age in that country without having their piety shocked by meeting with either an atheist or an infidel. Fast forward to today. Barna Research put out a poll in 2018 in which they determined that in the American population, 21% identify as atheist agnostic, or claim no religious leanings. Nearly a quarter of our population. I think probably since 2018 to 2021, it probably has hit a quarter, if the trends hold up. In our 9th through 12th grade Bible class, we're studying how to have a biblical worldview. And part of that is watching videos that are put out by what's called apologists. And it is staggering where some people are. Let me remind you, but for God's grace, that could be us. And we're going to find it may even indeed be us. Let's define some terms just to make sure we're all on the same page. An atheist is someone who claims to believe there is no God. They are resolute about it. There is no God. I would assert to you biblically, I don't believe there's such thing as an atheist because God created us with an understanding that there is. I think where most people that claim atheism actually fall is what's called agnostic. They accept that there might could be a God, but if there is, we can't possibly know him. And then you have those that would say, okay, yeah, there is a God, but I don't think that we have anything to do with him or he has anything to do with us. Some people use the term deism to explain that God's kind of like a clockmaker and he makes the clock and he winds it up and then he lets it go. That's not a right view either. And by the way, and we won't get into it, our founding fathers were not deists. That's false history. A couple, maybe. But the vast majority of them either were Bible-believing Christians or they at least understood the value of religion in the discourse of a nation. They were not deists. Andy, why in the world are you bringing this message on a Sunday morning? Because we're going to look into this phrase, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And I think that we're going to find that whether we like it or not, whether we want to believe it or not, there very well may be an atheist in our midst. You mean in this room? No. I mean in my heart. Now, if you're here today and you would identify as an atheist, I want you to know I'm your friend. I'm not here to beat you up. I want to help you. I would love to introduce you to the one and true living God, and I want to do it in a way that's not, you know, prideful. I'm no better than anybody in here. The only difference between me and the most vile sinner you've ever met is the grace of God and a couple of bad decisions. It's the only thing that's different. Brother Hensley, I'll tell you, were it not for God's grace and a couple of decisions that I was able to make that was right, because of God's grace, I'd be in the lowest gutter. I'd probably be dead. I'm no better than anybody in here. I stridently disagree with some of the stuff that's going on in our nation, but I'm no better than anybody who's involved in it. That needs to be made abundantly clear. But we think of atheist and we think of some far-off person in college academia. We think of some woke person that's over here, somebody. No. If I'm not careful, it can find its way into my own thinking. It can find its way into Fellowship Baptist Church. So let's look at the passage. Let's draw some thoughts out. And let's see what God has to say to us. Father, please help us today. May Jesus be lifted up in our time together. Help me to convey the thoughts that you've laid upon my heart in the way that most pleases you. If there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. May they come to Jesus today. And for those of us that think that we can't be touched by this, open our eyes and change our hearts for Christ's sake. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice that we see a thoughtless proclamation. A thoughtless proclamation. There is no God. Now, academia will tell you that that's the only right and intelligent position to take, the only right and intelligent proclamation to make, because we can't possibly know if there is a God. There's no evidence. There's nothing to support it. But I assert to you that that proclamation is thoughtless. There's a couple of things about it. To say there is no God, first of all, defies reason. If you are going to prove to me that there is no God, then what you are saying is that I have been everywhere, in every situation, at every time, and never found him. But none of us have. You cannot sit from a position that is static and say of the whole world and time eternal that there's never been a God. The basic principles of science. Oh, we hear a lot about science right now, don't we? Well, let's follow the science. And no, this is not a message on vaccinations. Preacher, what's your position on that? Get it if you want it. Don't if you don't. But make sure you've prayed and talked to the Lord about it, because he knows more about that vaccination than I do. You're dumping it off on God? You better believe I'm dumping it off on God. He can handle it. And that's the sum total of my official position on vaccines. So you got it all. Amen. Science. You ready? Science is based on observation and experimentation and replication. You have to observe something, you have to be able to experiment on it, and you have to be able to replicate it, at least in some form to some level, in order to say that it's science. Is creationism science? No. No. Only God was there to do it. We can't repeat it. We can't experiment on it. It's faith. And evolution is no less faith, because you can't repeat that either. And nobody was there to do that either. And you can't experiment on it either. It's no more science than creationism is. If I'm going to say the science tells me there is no God, then that means that I've been able to observe, experiment, and replicate something that tells me, that forms a what's called a hypothesis, that there is no God. And I got news for you. Nobody has or ever will be able to do that. So if you take the position of an atheist, it's thoughtless. There's been no thought gone into it. Because science would tell me that I can't make that declaration. I can't make that proclamation. Our 11th and 12th, 9th through 12th graders are going to like this. I'm going to repeat a lesson. How about this? If I sat an apple on this table here, that apple came from what? Tree. Okay. And that tree came from what? A seed. Which came from what? An apple. Which came from what? A tree. Which came from what? A seed. Which came from what? And see, we can keep going as long as you want. At some point, something had to be first. You can't just keep going into the eternity past and say that there's always been a seed, there's always been a tree, there's always been a... Somebody had to make the first something. Right? I have an iPhone in my office. That iPhone didn't just happen. Nobody has any problem believing that an iPhone had a designer, and that iPhone had people putting it together, and that iPhone had materials that had to be made and manufactured for it. Nobody has a problem believing that. But you look at the most complicated system in all the world, the human body, and we want to say that happened by chance without a designer. You know the Greek word for that, don't you? Hogwash. even if you don't embrace Christianity like I do, it's thoughtless to not embrace the idea of an intelligent designer. And if you're going to embrace the idea of an intelligent designer, why not embrace the right one? I'm not trying to be glib, y'all. I'm just saying, atheism doesn't add up. It's a thoughtless proclamation. We could keep going, but today is not meant to be an apologetic seminar. It denies righteousness. It doesn't just defy reason, it denies righteousness. Y'all probably can't read that, can you? I chose a bad background for this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Where does God show himself? First and foremost, he shows himself in creation, doesn't he? Okay? Even if you never pick up a Bible, you still know there's a God, because the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay? So what do we take from that? What do we derive from that? If there is no God, then there is absolutely no standard for righteousness. Why in the world do we label anything as right versus wrong? I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe. Your precious little pet does not cognate right versus wrong. No, my little poofy knows when he's done wrong. No, he doesn't. He knows when he's about to get whacked. But he does not. He's not sitting there in the corner going, you know, I really let them down, and I shouldn't have done that because I just. That's not how the brain works in a dog. That dog knows that I have done something that is going to elicit a negative consequence. That is not morality. That is not right versus wrong. But we have it. There's just certain things that are labeled right in this country that you have to suspend your basic humanity to go along with it. With all due respect to Governor Northam, you let a baby be born and lay on a table being kept comfortable while the parents and the doctors decide whether or not to end his life. That's wrong. It's wicked, it's vile, it's hellish. And I know a lot of people that don't claim to be Christians that would agree with that. Because we have a basic sense of morality. You see, it's a thoughtless proclamation. It defies reason. It denies righteousness. And then that brings us to two possibilities. Two possibilities. What's the verse say? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Right now, as we sit here today, every one of us, as I stand, as you sit, whoever's watching, whatever your posture is, wherever you are, we are in one of two situations and only one of two situations. We are either living, aspiring to wisdom, or we are living in aspiration to foolishness. Right now, you are either trying to be wise or you're being foolish. Well, there's no in between? No, there's not. Now that doesn't mean that we've attained to full wisdom or that we've attained to full foolishness, but we are trending in one direction or the other. As a parent, I am either striving to be a wise parent or I am a foolish parent. You know what I found over the years? Almost in every situation, it's not the kid, it's the parent. Hey parents, we got a pretty big responsibility on us. We need God's wisdom to do it. We sure do. If there's anything about me as a dad that's any good at all, it's because of God. Right now, we're either pushing to be wise or we're foolish. That's it. Well, there's so many little nuances. No, there's not, y'all. That's the thing. People love to make things more complicated than they are. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's simple. Obey God and his word. We're either striving to be wise or we're trending towards being foolish. And that's the only two possibilities. And as I stand here before you, I don't always hit the mark, but God help me. I want to be wise. I don't want to live a life of foolishness. I don't want my kids to see a life of foolishness. I don't want my church to see a life of foolishness. I don't want the school to see a life of foolishness. I don't want this community to see a life of foolishness. I want to live wisely. The Bible's clear. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I know some atheists and agnostics, and I love them, and I want to reach them. I want to be their friend as much as the Bible allows me to be. You've got to be careful about close associations, but I want to be their friend, and I want to love them for Jesus' sake. But it's God's word, not mine. Reject the idea of God, and you're a fool. There's only two possibilities. You remember Joshua, when Joshua was leaving this earth, he's speaking to the Israelites. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now notice how many choices he gives. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, those are all one choice. What he's saying is you can choose false gods. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the way, parents, not only do you have the right, you have the responsibility to make sure your kids serve the Lord while they're under your authority. You can't make them do it here or here, but you can make them do it outwardly and try to teach them from your own example so that they'll do it inwardly. I've met parents and their little kids just living like the devil. Well, they just got to figure it out on their own. No, they don't. That's what you're here for. That's what you're here for. You don't use that for anything else, do you? Well, I guess they'll learn to drive on their own. No, please don't. Well, they want to be an electrician. I guess they'll figure it out. No, have someone teach them. You see, we see a thoughtless proclamation and two possibilities. And here's the thrust of the message. It brings us to a troubling prospect. A troubling prospect. I want you to notice what it says. The fool hath said where? In his heart. There is no God. You ever said something in your heart that you never said out loud? Amen. Remember the first time you saw your wife? How beautiful she was. How much you really wanted to get to know her. The thought of spending the rest of your life with her and that she would have a lowly soul such as you. That was in your heart, wasn't it? But that wasn't the first thing you said, I hope. Brother Richard, you didn't walk up to her and say, you're really pretty and I really like the idea of spending the rest of my life with you even though I'm just lowly and everything, so let... No, I hope you didn't do that. All of that resided in your heart. And over time, what was in the bucket, what was down in the well came up in the bucket, right? Over time and in the right way, Brother Branson, smooth like he is, stuff came out as it should in the right timing and everything, and Old Casanova got the lady of his dreams, but it started out in the heart. Because what's the Bible tell us about the heart? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We have this idea that the atheist is that person who's out there loudly proclaiming there is no God, but that's not what it says. The fool hath said in his heart. Well, Andy, I got you there. I've been saved for years, and I wouldn't say in my heart there is no God. Then let me ask you a really serious question that I've had to ask myself. Then why do you live as though there is no God? Well, I don't do that. How often does God enter into your decision-making process? Man, I don't know if I should take this job or not. I mean, the benefits are really great, and the pay is okay, and it's really close to home, and we go through all this list, and that's fine, but at some point, do you ask God what he thinks about it? The decisions we make for our kids. By the way, not everybody's meant to be at Granite Christian Academy. This is not a commercial for Granite, okay? But I wonder how many kids are in different places just because, you know, well, there's football. This is where all their friends go. This gives them a head start on advanced placement and good college and all of that. That's all fine and good. That's great. But how often do we ask God what he wants? I can't tell you how many times over the years that me and Brother Davies, whether it's here or other ministries in which we've been a part, have had meetings with parents that said, we're not putting our kids in or we're taking our kids out or whatever, and they give us a whole list of list of reasons, but at no point is it ever broached what God wants. We've prayed about it. A lot of times that's not even brought into the... Once again, not everybody's meant to be here. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you're going to put your kids somewhere, you better pray about it. That relationship. That they put up with you this long is not a good enough reason to get married. Or that she's cute and she thinks I'm cute and we can stand each other, that's not a good enough reason to get together. There's no relationship out there that's worth anything if God doesn't have his blessing on it. See, here's the thing. We would never outwardly say there is no God, and we would even say, well, I've never even said it in my heart, and yet if we're not careful, we live as though there is no God. We do what we want. We say what we want. We think what we want with no fear of the consequences. We don't worry about the impact it's going to have on others or whether or not other people are hearing the gospel and going to heaven. We just live our own lives the way we want to live them, and God doesn't even enter into the equation, and when that happens, there's an atheist in our midst. My fear is not that an atheist will sneak into fellowship. I hope they do. Come in loud and proud and sit down and I'll preach and we'll try to help them. That's not my fear. My fear is that an atheist will find his way in here. Because even if I've been saved for 42 years, and if I start living as though there is no God, guess what I am? A fool. I don't know this for sure, but as Saul lay on the ground dying, after falling on his sword, I don't believe the Amalekite killed him. I think that was a lie. As he lay on the ground dying, I wouldn't be surprised. And I believe Saul went to heaven personally. I believe he laid there and thought, what a fool I've been. He even said that to David once. I have played the fool. America's not in the shape that she's in because of the Democrats. We're not in the shape we're in because of the pro-choicers. We're not in the shape we're in because of the LGBT folks. I'm not saying I agree with any of that. It's not why we are where we are. We're in the shape we're in because a whole lot of Christians failed to see the atheist in their midst and began to live as though there is no God. We're where we are because America is full of Christian fools. Hearkening back to Isaiah 29, Jesus said this, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I'm standing right where I'm supposed to be standing at 11:58 on a Sunday morning. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm saying what I'm supposed to say. But the question I really have to wrestle with is, where's my heart? Because I can be standing here saying the right things and my heart be far from Him. You can play the piano, sit in the choir, lead the singing, teach a Sunday school class, run the sound, run the video. You can do all those things and be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. But your heart is far from Him. So what? All right, Andy, what do I take from this? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I tell you what, let's go ahead and pack up, zip up, everything you got to do. We got a bigger crowd than normal this morning, and I'm thankful for that, but what y'all don't realize is when everybody does that at the same time, it's a thunderous sound up here. So you're doing it, you're thinking it's up here, it's zip! I had the opportunity to preach in my college, my junior year. And the occasion in which I preached, there were 3,600 people in the room. And that happened as everybody could tell when I was winding up my message. And it was so thunderous, I thought the roof was coming down. And everybody's all ready to go. If you got cough drops, or go ahead, because those candy wrappers are really loud too. I love you all, but you think they're not. They are. And why is it when you open a candy wrapper in church, it takes you 37 minutes? Please, please get the thing open. Make the extra noise and get the thing open, okay? I use these. All you hear is a, that's it. It's over. Yeah. I heard a ha ha. I like that. Okay. So everybody's laughing, we're all friends again, right? Here's the so what. It could be somebody here today or watching online. Maybe you're not an atheist or an agnostic, but you're not a Christian, you're not saved. You've never trusted Christ. Friend, you're headed to the same place the atheist is. You see, salvation is not based on the level of your belief. It's based on the object of your belief. We're all sinners. We're sinners by birth, nature, and choice. And that sin separates us from God because He's holy. It disqualifies us from heaven and it dooms us to hell. If God's righteous and He is, sin has to be paid for. It can't be overlooked. It has to be paid for. The only way we can do that is in hell. If only there were someone that didn't owe the debt that could pay it for us. Oh, there is. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. And when he was 33 years old, he took your sin and my sin upon himself. And he went to that cross and he hung there for 6 hours. And while he hung there between heaven and earth for 6 hours, God poured out his wrath on his son in our place. Then when Jesus realized that God's wrath was satisfied and sin had been paid for, he cried out, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. They put him in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. And early that Sunday morning, the Son of God rose again, alive forevermore. And he paid the price for our sin. The gospel is not Baptist doctrine. The gospel is not being in this church. It's not being a good person or being baptized or putting money in the offering plate. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel. If you've never trusted Christ, believe on him while you can. Don't wait. That's your so what. If you're an atheist, an agnostic, there's a principle of added light. God's given you some light today. Not just his creation, he's given you his word. And if you'll respond to that light, he'll give you more light. And if you'll respond to that light, he'll give you more light. And before long, you'll be staring in the face of the God you didn't think existed. But now you got a decision to make. If you're not saved, and in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be saved. And here's what we'll do. You come down here and I'll meet you. And somebody will take a Bible. If it's a gentleman, it'll be a gentleman. If it's a lady, it's a lady. We'll take you somewhere discreet, away from everybody else. We're not going to make a spectacle out of you. We'll take you somewhere with the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Be the best decision you ever made. That's your so what. Christian, saved, you're on your way to heaven. We would never say there is no God. But that doesn't mean there can't be an atheist among us, within us. Because if we live as though there is no God, ignoring what his word says, ignoring what his spirit prompts us to do, if we do that, then we might as well proclaim atheism. Because we're not helping anybody, certainly not ourselves. And so this is what we need to do. We need to search me, O God. Look within me. Lord, if there's anything of that in me, I need you to show it to me and eradicate it. That's your choice today. I refuse, by God's grace, I refuse to allow this kind of thing in my life. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be wise. That's our so what.